welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths, to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
According to Reference.com, most Americans spend 13 hours a year waiting on hold for customer service. The average American commuter spends 38 hours each year waiting in traffic, while big city commuters average more than 50. Overall, Americans annually spend 37 billion hours waiting in line. For those people who take a train or bus, they will spend about 27 days of their lives waiting on the platform or at the bus stop. Studies show, though, that when people have to wait for a shorter time than expected, they are happier people than those who have to wait a longer time than expected. Anna Swanson wrote in the Washington Post, "If the people who study the psychology of waiting in line, yes, there is such a thing, have an origin story, it is this. It was the 1950s, and a high-rise office building in Manhattan had a problem. The tenants complained of an excessively long wait for the elevator when people arrived in the morning, took their lunch break, or left at night. Engineers examined the building and determined there was nothing that could be done to speed up the service. Desperate to keep his tenants, the building manager turned to his staff for suggestions. One employee noted that people were probably just bored and recommended installing floor-to-ceiling mirrors near the elevators, so people could look at themselves and each other while waiting. This was done, and the complaints dropped nearly to zero. Bottom line is, we've never really liked to wait, and our ever-changing world increasingly equates waiting to some kind of appalling occurrence that needs to be wiped out like the plagues of old. Yet as children of God, we know that how we view things and how the Lord views things often seem to be polar opposites. In fact, God tells us directly in His Word that our ways are not His ways. And while waiting may be something we try to avoid at all costs, what we're going to find out is what it costs us when we don't learn to wait. Back in the fall, I introduced you to one of my favorite authors, the Reverend Andrew Murray. He has written several books in that monthly devotional format I adore. Short chapters, easy to read on the go, yet packed with enough spiritual insight to last a year if you really desire to not just know it, but truly apply it. So come be a part as I share some of my favorite excerpts from Andrew Murray's beloved devotional entitled Waiting on God, Daily Messages for a Month. These daily devotionals will be sure to inspire and challenge you to draw closer to God as you understand Him better. In just a few minutes each day, you will be encouraged in your walk of faith as you learn what springs from a life continually waiting on God. The great lack of our religion is that we do not know God, Murray writes. We need to learn to wait on Him, to put away our experiences, however blessed they may have been, our conceptions of truth, however scripturally sound we may think they seem, our plans, however needful and suitable they appear, and give God time and place to show us what He could do, what He will do. If only we would realize the influence of a life spent not in thought or imagination or effort, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, fully waiting on God. My soul waiteth only upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. Psalm 62:1. Waiting on God, the God of our salvation, day one. If salvation indeed comes from God and is entirely His work, just as our creation was, it follows as a matter of course that our first and highest duty is to wait on Him, to do the work which pleases Him. Waiting becomes then the only way to the full experience of salvation, the only way truly to know God as the God of our salvation. All our difficulties have their cause in this one thing, the defective knowledge and practice of waiting upon God. All that the church and its members need for the manifestation of the mighty power of God in this world is to return to our true place, the place that belongs to us, both in creation and redemption, the place of absolute and unceasing dependence upon God. So let us strive to see what the elements are that make up this most blessed and needful waiting upon God. It may help us to discover the reasons why this grace is so little cultivated, and to feel how infinitely desirable it is that the church, and we ourselves, should at any price learn this blessed secret. The deep need for this waiting on God lies equally in the nature of man and the nature of God. God, as a creator, formed man to be a vessel in which he could show forth his power and goodness. Man's glory and blessedness was not to be independent or dependent upon himself, but dependent on a God of such infinite riches and love. Man was to have the joy of receiving every moment out of the fullness of God. This was his blessedness as an unfallen creature. When man fell from God, he was still absolutely dependent on him. There was not the slightest hope in his recovery out of his state of death, but in God, his power and mercy. It is God alone who began the work of redemption. It is God alone who continues and carries it on each moment in each individual believer. Even in the regenerate man, there is no power of goodness in himself. He has and can have nothing that he does not each moment receive. And waiting on God is just as indispensable and must be just as continuous and unbroken as the breathing that maintains his natural life. It is then because Christians do not know their relation to God, of absolute poverty and helplessness, that they have no sense of the need of absolute and unceasing dependence, or the unspeakable blessedness of continual waiting on God. But once a believer begins to see it, and consent to it, then he by the Holy Spirit must each moment receive what God each moment works. Waiting on God becomes his brightest hope and joy. As he understands how God, as infinite love, delights to impart his own nature to his child as fully as he can, how God is not weary of each moment keeping charge of his life and strength, he wonders that he ever thought otherwise of God than as a God to be waited on all the day. First we wait on God for salvation. Then we learn that salvation is only to bring us to God and teach us to wait on him. Then we find, what is better still, the waiting on God is itself the highest salvation. It is the ascribing to him of the glory of being all. It is the experience that he is all to us. May God teach us the blessedness of waiting on him. Waiting on God, the keynote of life, day 2. Let us think of ourselves and the inconceivably glorious salvation God has fashioned for us in Christ, and now practicing to work out and perfect in us by his Spirit. God cannot part with his grace or goodness or strength as an external thing that he gives us, as he gives the raindrops from heaven. He can only give it, and we can only enjoy it, as he works it out himself directly and unceasingly. And the only reason that he does not work it out more effectually and continuously is that we do not let him. We hinder him either by our indifference or by our self-effort. What he asks of us in the way of surrender and obedience and desire and trust is all comprised in this one word. Waiting. It combines the deep sense of our entire helplessness of ourselves to work what is divinely good, and our perfect confidence that our God will work in all his divine power. God only asks us to yield, to consent, and to wait on him, and he will do it all. There can be no good but what God works. To wait upon God and to have the heart filled with faith in his working, and in that faith to pray for his mighty power to come down, is our only wisdom. Our private and public prayers are our expression of our relationship to God. It is in them chiefly that our waiting upon God must be exercised. If our waiting begins by quieting our activities and being still before God, if we yield ourselves to Him in the assurance that He is working and will work in us, if we maintain a place of humility and stillness and surrender until God's Spirit has quickened the faith that He will perfect His work, it will indeed become the strength and joy of our soul. Waiting on God for supplies, Day 4. Psalms 104 is a psalm of creation, and the words, "These all wait upon thee," were used with the reference to the animal kingdom. What the universe and the animal creation does unconsciously, God's people are to do intelligently and voluntarily. Man is to be the interpreter of nature. He is to prove that there is nothing more noble or more blessed in the exercise of our free choice than to use it in waiting upon God. When an army had been sent out to march into an enemy's country, and word was received that it was not advancing, the question was immediately asked, "What is the cause of the delay?" The answer was very often, "Waiting for supplies." All of the provisions or clothing or ammunition had not arrived. Without these, the troops dare not proceed. It is no different in the Christian life. Day by day, at every step, we need our supplies from above. And there is nothing so needful as to cultivate that spirit of dependence on God and of confidence in Him, which refuses to go on without the needed supply of grace and strength. It may be asked whether this is anything different from what we do when we pray. The answer is, there can be ample praying, but with very little waiting on God. In praying, we are often occupied with ourselves, our own needs, and our own efforts in the presentation of them. In waiting upon God, the first thought is of the God upon whom we wait. Before you pray, bow quietly before God, just to remember and realize who He is, how near He is, and certainly how He can and will help. Just be still before Him and allow the Holy Spirit to waken and stir up in your soul the childlike disposition of absolute dependence and confident expectation. And when you are praying, let there be intervals of silence, reverent stillness of the soul, in which you yield yourself to God, in case He may have that which He wishes to teach you or to work in you. Waiting on Him will become the most blessed part of prayer. God has so ordained it, in harmony with His holy nature and with ours, that waiting on Him should be the honor we give Him. Let us bring Him the service gladly and truthfully, and He will reward it abundantly. Waiting on God for instruction, Day 5. We spoke of an army being delayed. While one cause of the delay might have been waiting for supplies, the other cause might have been waiting for instructions. If the last dispatch had not been received, with the final orders from the commander-in-chief, the army did not move. Even so, in the Christian life, as deep as the need of waiting for supplies is that of waiting for instructions. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day. Psalm 25, 4 and 6. Study Psalm 25 until your heart is filled with two thoughts, the absolute need and the absolute certainty of divine guidance. Our Father in heaven knows so well that we are unable to do what is really holy and heavenly except as He works it in us, that He means His very demands to become promises of what He will do in watching over and leading us all the day. Not only in special difficulties or times of perplexity, but in the common course of everyday life, we may count on Him to teach us His ways and show us His path. And what is needed in us to receive this guidance? One thing, waiting for instructions, waiting on God. As simple as it is to one who has eyes to walk all day in the light of the sun, So simple and so delightful can it be to become a soul practiced in waiting on God, to walk all day in the enjoyment of God's light and leading. If we but saw our God in His love, if we but believed that He waits to be gracious and to work all in us, how this waiting on God would become our highest joy, the natural and spontaneous response of our hearts to His great love and glory. Waiting on God with the Heart, Day 9. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all ye that wait for the Lord. Psalm 31:24. All our waiting depends upon the state of the heart. As a man's heart is, so is he before God. We can advance no further or deeper into the holy place of God's presence to wait on Him there than our heart is prepared for it by the Holy Spirit. This truth appears so simple that some may ask, where is the need of insisting on this so specifically? Because many Christians have no sense of the great difference between the religion of the mind and the religion of the heart. The former is far more diligently cultivated than the latter. They do not know how infinitely greater the heart is than the mind. In our Christian walk, we have to use these two powers. The mind has to gather the knowledge from God's Word and prepare the food by which the heart in the inner life is to be nourished. But with this comes the terrible danger of leaning to our own understanding. People imagine that if we are occupied with truth, the spiritual life will, as a matter of course, be strengthened. But this is by no means the case. It is with the heart man believes and comes in touch with God. My mind is utterly impotent in creating or maintaining spiritual life within me. The heart must wait upon God for Him to work in me. Remember the difference between knowing with the mind and believing with the heart. Waiting on God, the way to the new song, Day 14. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And He has put a new song in my mouth, ever praise unto our God. Psalm 40:1-3. True patience is so foreign to our self-confident nature, yet so indispensable in our waiting upon God. The word patience is derived from the Latin word for suffering. It suggests the thought of being under the constraint of some power from which we hope to be free. It is of infinite consequence that we not only submit because we are compelled to, but because we lovingly and joyfully consented to be in the hands of the Father. True patience is the losing of our self-will in His perfect will. To many it may appear strange how difficult it is to truly wait upon God. The elements of perfect patience are not found all at once, but they will come in measure as the soul maintains its position and continues to say, "Truly my soul, wait upon God." If any are inclined to despair because they have no such patience, be of good courage. It is in the course of our feeble and very imperfect waiting that God Himself, by His power, strengthens us and works out in us the patience of the saints, the patience of Christ Himself. Patient waiting upon God brings a rich reward. The deliverance is sure. God Himself will put a new song into your heart. And if you sometimes feel as if patience is not your gift, always remember it is God's gift. Waiting on God as a God of judgment, Day 19. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. For when the divine judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Isaiah 26:8-9. God is a God of mercy and a God of judgment. Mercy and judgment are ever together in His dealings. The judgment punishes the sin, while mercy saves the sinner. In waiting on God, we must be aware of forgetting this. As we wait, we must expect Him as a God of judgment. If we are honest in our longing for holiness, in our prayer to be completely the Lord's, then His holy presence will stir up and discover hidden sin, and bring us very low in the bitter conviction of the evil of our nature, its opposition to God's law, its impotence to fulfill that law. In great mercy, God executes within the soul his judgments upon sin, and he makes it feel its wickedness and guilt. Many try to flee from this truth, but the soul that longs for God and the deliverance from sin bows in humility and hope. Let no one who seeks to learn the blessed art of waiting on God wonder if at the first attempt to wait on him, they only discover more of their sin and darkness. Let no one despair because unconquered sin or evil thoughts or great darkness appear to hide God's face. Wait on God in the faith that his tender mercy is working out in you his redemption in the midst of judgment. Wait for him, and he will be gracious to you. Waiting on God is not meant to be spiritual self-indulgence. Its object is to let God and his holiness get possession of us, so that we who know of the coming judgments, we who know that there are those who live on in carelessness, and who, if no change comes, will perish under God's hand, should we not do our utmost to warn them, to plead with them, and for them, that they may come to salvation? Oh, that we would be compelled to speak and pray as never before. Waiting on God continually. Day 30. Therefore turn now to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait upon God continually. Hosea 12:6. To those who are content with a feeble Christian life, waiting on the Lord continually appears to be a luxury, something beyond what is essential to be a good Christian. But those who desire to be fully surrendered know there can be no unbroken fellowship with God, no full abiding in Christ, no maintaining a victory over sin and readiness for service without it. Waiting continually is possible. Many think that with the duties of life, it is out of the question. They cannot always be thinking about it. Even when they wish to, they forget. They do not understand that it is a matter of the heart, and that what the heart is full of occupies it, even when the thoughts are otherwise engaged. When you first begin waiting on God, it is with frequent intermission and frequent failure. But believe God is watching over you in love and strengthening you in it. There are times when waiting appears just to be losing time, but it is not so. Your spiritual life is in no respect your own work. As little as you began it, can you continue it? It is God's Spirit who has begun the work in you of waiting upon God. He will enable you to wait continually. Take time until the vision of your God working continually, without one moment's intermission, fills your being. Your waiting continually will then come of itself. Full of trust and joy, the holy habit of the soul will become, "On thee do I wait all the day. My soul, wait thou only upon God." Waiting on God by Andrew Murray can generally be found through your local Christian bookstore or online. It is currently available in paperback and digital format, and I believe there are even a few websites offering a free PDF file as well. And with us barely touching on a week of Murray's presented devotions today, imagine how much more there still is to discover. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk, and to be able to share those resources with you.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.